You're listening to the Island Church Podcast. If you'd like more information or to donate to this ministry, visit islandchurch.tv.
This morning, we are celebrating God's Word. I love the Bible. Amen? Don't you love the Word of God? You know, for 37 years, Liz and I in a couple of weeks will be married 37 years, and our life was launched. The ministry that God entrusted to us, our marriage, our kids, everything that has happened in our life has revolved, been based off the Word of God. I was fortunate to be, and many of you think it's fortunate. I don't know sometimes. I didn't think sometimes it was fortunate. But I was fortunate to be raised in a pastor's home. And my dad was very strict. You've heard me talk about our relationship. And sports is what kept us together. He was a great athlete. And so he put more quarters in a batting machine, and I pitched more imaginary games, and we played one-on-one. I quarterbacked, and he ran routes, and sports was really our connecting point. But my dad was consumed with the Word. He had gotten saved at 19, radical salvation, and he fell in love with Jesus and fell in love with the Word of God. He had been pretty rough family, pretty rough growing up. And life was just transformed, and he couldn't get enough of Jesus. And so I remember every morning I got up, my dad would have his Bible open, and he would be reading the Bible. Every day that my dad was home, there wasn't a day that I remember ever leaving for school that my dad didn't lay hands on me and pray for me and read a proverb to me, or I read it while he followed along. My life has been, the Word of God has been deposited. It's been the central theme. And scriptures that are inside of me, this week we're gonna memorize the 23rd Psalm. This week we're gonna memorize the 10 Commandments. This week we're gonna memorize the Sermon on the Mount. This week we're gonna memorize the Romans Road. It was just constant getting the Word of God. And so, it's always been a vital part. And I will tell you this, I would not want to live my life without God's Word. I don't worship the Word, I worship Jesus. But God gave us His Word so we would know what He is like. And so we can have barriers and boundaries in our life. Give me a drink of water. If we have a life without boundaries, it's like a river without banks, and our life becomes a swamp. It's quagmire. But if a river has banks, then it can be a great moving force. It can carry ships and barges and commerce up and down. And if our lives have banks, if we have doctrine. Don't let that word doctrine throw you. It's not a bad word. It's a really good word. It's the foundation of what we believe. It's our standard. Excuse me for just a second. That doesn't happen often, does it? I don't drink water in front of you very often, but I am this morning. And so we need boundaries that the word brings us. When we talk about celebrating the Word, there's so many things that I want to share, and I'm trying to see how we can focus this time together in these next like 15, 20 minutes that we have here, just to grab a hold of something, foundation that'll carry us through, and then we'll pick up again. Celebrating the Word, what does that mean, Pastor? It means this. I celebrate Jesus. I celebrate Him every day. I love Jesus. Amen. I love worship. I love his presence. I'm thankful. I know my personality. I know what my life would be like without him. And I am thankful for Jesus. I celebrate him. I celebrate the Holy Spirit. I thank God in his infinite wisdom. Jesus said, I'll not leave you by yourself. I'll send one like myself, the Holy Spirit that's come to dwell and abide with us. Thank God for his Holy Spirit. Thank God for God the Father. Thank you, my Father in heaven. I thank God for the blood of Jesus that speaks better things than that of Abel's. I thank God for the blood, the remission of sin through the blood of Jesus, the answer to the sin curse, to the cancer sin in my life, to bring it into remission is the blood of Jesus. Amen. I celebrate God's word. God's word is a lamp, quoting from David, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word I will hide in my heart that I will not sin against him. People have, you've heard this before, it's been said that either sin will keep you from the word or the word will keep you from sin. But one happens. And if you pour yourself into the word, your spirit man, there's convictions. The Holy Spirit conviction because you're spiritually being nourished. There's something powerful about the word of God. It's living. It's alive. It cuts to the very core of the issue. One of the reasons I love expository preaching that we do much of throughout the year is because as we walk through the book of John, we deal with every subject that's in the Bible. And sometimes, you know, whenever you're just doing topical preaching, you just deal with certain things. But expository, you're dealing with some of the rough stuff, some of the down and dirty stuff, and we're able to confront it. I love reading, walking through God's word. But let me tell you how we need to approach God's word. And it's this: God's word is not just to be read, and God's word is not just to be listened to. God's word is to be obeyed. Obeyed. And there are churches all across America that are full of people who know God's word, who have theological understanding, who even have doctrinal understanding, but they don't obey God's word. They're not living in the fullness of God's word. They're not living in the victory of God's word. God's word is to be obeyed. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 1:19. You'll need to jot that down. It says, the willing and obedient. Are you willing to put yourself in a place for God to bless you? Are you willing to live righteous? To make hard decisions, right decisions? Decisions not based on emotion, but based on the word of God that will allow blessing to flow into your life if you're willing. The willing and the obedient, those that follow the instruction manual. It says they will eat the good of the land. There's a story in 1 Samuel. We'll talk about this more in a couple of weeks. But this story in 1 Samuel is about Saul, and he has been commissioned by Samuel to go kill the Amalekites, and he's told to kill everyone, all the animals, to destroy, to get everything, no remnant left. And when he comes back, Saul's coming back to town, and they're doing a victory parade, and Samuel steps out. All of a sudden, Samuel hears this. He hears, bah, bah. He goes, what's that? The Bible uses this word, it says, I heard the bleating of the sheep, the bleating of the sheep. What is that, Saul? Well, I thought I would save the best. I saved, you know, some of the royalty, and I saved the best of the animals. And it's where Samuel turns and he makes this declaration, and it's a fascinating word that he speaks. And he says this, God's not looking for sacrifice, but he's looking for obedience. It's not about sacrifice, it's about obedience. And I think about that. I think so many people, but I do this, but it's okay for me because I'm different and I do this at church and I give this and this is my position, this is my role. And God's not looking for our sacrifices at that juncture. He's looking for our pure, unadulterated obedience. Complete surrender to what he says. There's an incredible story in Matthew chapter 8. Note the scriptures in your notes online. Let me paraphrase it for time's sake this morning, but it's about a Roman army officer, and he had a servant that was very ill. In fact, he was paralyzed and suffering in bed, and Jesus said, you know what, I'll go to your house and I'll heal him. And this Roman centurion said something. He said, you don't need to do that. He goes, I understand authority. And I'm not worthy that you would come to my house. But what he's saying is, I know about obedience and I know about authority. I know this obedience thing and this authority thing. See, I'm a captain in the army and I give commands to soldiers and I tell them to go and they go and I tell them to come and they come. And they obey immediately. And I know I look at you, Jesus, and I see you're under authority. Whose authority was Jesus under? He was under the authority of the Father. He came to do the Father's will. And it was obvious that he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve under authority. And so he said, if you'll just speak the word, my servant will be healed. And Jesus' response to that was, I've never seen faith like that. I have never seen faith like that. Why? Why is this the greatest faith? I believe it has to do with three words. I believe it has to do with authority, faith, and obedience. Jesus was under authority. This man recognized Jesus was under authority. He's talked about him being under authority. What's the opposite of being under authority is to be in what? To be in rebellion. I'm convinced that so many church-going folks live in rebellion because they're not obeying God's word. They're not saying yes to God's word. They're living life based on their own ideals and their conditions. It's a phenomenon that I see happening, and it's obvious, a cultural thing, a 21st century living, that people want the covenant blessing of God, but they don't want to live the way God has required us to live. And somehow we think we can be blessed and we can be Lord of our life, and it doesn't work that way. I want to help you to see how to be blessed. And when we're thinking, I can make all the decisions, I call the shots, man. See, there's a lot of things I know how to do in life, but everything I have to surrender. God, I think I know how to be a leader. God, I think I know how to be a pastor, how to be a husband. You've heard me go through this time and time again. I think I know, but God, I need you. I surrender. I don't want to just do things because I have an experience. And I have experience at doing it, and I can do it in my sleep. Yeah. But oh, when you surrender it to God and you allow his touch to be on it. Hello? It's something different. And so this whole idea of authority, that I'm under authority, that I'm not living in rebellion, I'm not doing what I want to do when I want to do it, but I'm living surrendered. Surrendered. Let me just throw this out for what it's worth. You will never really be over until you are first under. And let me add something to it. And I don't care what your title is. You can have the title and still not have authority. Because authority doesn't come from a title. Authority comes from being under authority. And when you're under authority, that's when you hear the voice of the Lord. That's when you know God's speaking. That's when you know God is leading and guiding your life. And so it's imperative. It's imperative. Don't be caught up with the idea, I need a title. No, you don't have to have a title to be an influencer. Now, you can have a title and be a great leader. I pray that. But don't think it's just all about titles. It's not. See, the authority, it's not I'm Pastor Fred. It's that the authority comes from being a child of God. There may be some of God's anointing for position. I get that. But real power comes through submission to God and surrender to God. I hope someone really grabs a hold of that. So there's this idea of authority and then faith. See, you can't separate God's word and faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the only way I can please God is through faith, apparently. And so where does faith come? Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. So I need to hear messages. Yes, I need to be reading God's word and listening and studying. Holy Spirit, speak to me, because that's where my faith is built. And that's how I bring pleasure to God. That's how I honor him. He responds. He doesn't respond to my complaining. He doesn't respond to my griping. You may have some really difficult, some horrible situations, and I'm so sorry for some of those things, for all those things that people would go through. And in the midst of my pain, in the midst when I've hurt the worst, oh, Jesus, I hurt. He's near the brokenhearted, but he doesn't respond to me because my broken heart. He responds to me because in my broken heart, I turn to God and I say, God, I trust you. God, I'm looking to you, looking unto Jesus. You're the beginning and the end, and you see me on this dot and this speck of history and time, and you are going to sustain me and see me through. You are my hope. That's what God responds to. So faith's a big deal here. The word of God and faith. Faith comes by hearing the word. And then after we under authority, faith is growing. The way faith is expressed is through obedience. They're all interlocked. God has linked faith, obedience together so that all the promises of God are conditioned upon you following the directions that he gives you. He's called us to follow the directions. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 33. How many are glad you came to church? Amen? All right, here it is. You shall walk in all, everybody say all. You will walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you shall live and it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land, and that you shall possess. See, what he's saying in that verse is follow the directions. You shall walk in the way of the Lord your God that he has commanded you. He's saying, follow the directions that I have given you. Does anyone here know anyone who has a hard time following directions? It seems to be part of life. And what he's saying is the key to blessing is following the directions. Follow the directions. I don't know what it is. I'm not real handy. You know, my dad was kind of handy. He's real athletic. Everything in my life was football, basketball, baseball. And it was just that cycle for all the way through college. And so I, you know, a missions trip, and I can mix mud and carry blocks, and I can lay a few blocks, but you better be there to make sure. I'm not the guy that's gonna wire the place and live anyway. But for whatever reason, when it comes to putting stuff together, I still think I can do this. I don't really need the direction. Listen, Fred, the directions are right here. I got it, baby. I think I told you, we bought a bed that had a futon on the bottom when Luke was like 12. And here's my suggestion. If you buy a bed with a futon, bunk bed with a futon, have them put it together and deliver it to your house. It's worth the extra money if you just have them do that. And Liz and I, we stayed married through this whole process, but it was a miracle that we did. And when it was through, Liz has got like this bag. She's like, Fred, why do we have all these nuts and bolts and springs left over? I said, baby, they always send extra. Just put that over there. We're fine. Why is it so hard to follow directions? Let me just tell you, when it comes to the things of God, you know, there's a lot of things that it's okay to be close. You know, that thing held together. It never moved. It didn't have all the right stuff in the right place, but it was there. And when we moved from that place, we got it out to the curb. And you know what? Someone bought it and used it for years, or picked it up and used it for years. So it hung together. But it's okay to be close in some things in life. But when it comes to faith, when it comes to God, it's important to be accurate. Now hear me. And how are we accurate? We follow His instructions. It's that simple. In a couple of weeks, I'll share with you how we can do that in a greater way. Today, I want to just maybe hopefully whet our appetite in some ways. God's given us these incredible promises. You know, He's promised to bless those who obey Him, to save those who obey Him, to watch over those who obey Him. These are scriptures right out of your Bible. Take care of those who obey Him. You will be helped. God will help those who obey. He gives us what we ask for when we obey His commands. He says things like this are tied to obedience. It's in your Bible. You can read it. That we'll lack no good thing. That we'll have everything we'll need. That if you obey and follow the instructions, you will walk in perfect freedom. You'll have greater wisdom. You'll dwell in security and peace. You'll be prosperous and successful. And of course, we understand what biblical prosperity and success is. We'll be great in the kingdom. We'll be rewarded for eternity. Understand this, though. Obedience is the premise behind the promise. The premise behind the promise, what it's going to take to see the promise, it is obedience. It's by His grace, and we obey. Let me ask you this question. Based on all the promises that I just shared with you, and they're pretty awesome. I'm going to admit, God's promises are pretty amazing, right? Is God a liar? See, I think we have to be convinced of that. Not everyone, but there's several. You have to be convinced after hearing all those promises that we just talked about that God's not a liar, and I'm going to tell you why. I had to work through this in my mind, and I'd been saved and been a pastor and been in ministry for a lot of years. My dad was a man of faith. He pastored the same church for 58 years. He married and buried practically everyone in the county. They named streets after him. He was Citizen of the Year. They named the new high school baseball park after him. He was known. He served on boards. Man of God, man of faith. And yet, those last years, he struggled in his body. And I prayed healing for him. I spoke God's word. I confessed God's word. And he died, and I was with him. And after he died, I laid hands on him and prayed that God would raise him from the dead. And I wondered, God, here's this man who preached your word, who preached, if you have faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, remove it, yonder place, and it will remove, and nothing will be impossible to you. And I thought, wouldn't it be just the most amazing testimony and miracle for you to raise him up, give him 10 more years of preaching, proclaiming? But here's the conclusion I came to. When I look at all the Word of God, and I see that in a fallen world, the brokenness, the adversary, the faithfulness of God, whether it's Job or whether it's the Hall of Faith, and it's that bunch that didn't make it, the ones that got sawed in two and the ones who got run through with a spear, but yet they make the Hall of Faith. That God is sovereign, and that my dad fought the good fight of faith, and he received his crown, and that me trying to understand God is like an ant trying to understand me. That God is infinite and that I can trust him. You say, well, that's ridiculous. That's blind faith. No. God asked me to trust him. And real trust, real faith, is when things don't work out like we think they ought to work out. Real faith is trusting God when you don't get what you thought you ought to get. And I have no doubt that God's word's 100% true. So I pray God's word. If someone's sick, I speak God's word. I pray God's word. I believe with you for a supernatural touch of God. Here's what I know. I know my responsibility according to God's word is to obey God's word, is to have God's word, to be built up with faith in God's word, to obey God's word. The end result is up to God. But I know what I'm supposed to do according to God's word. So don't be disillusioned. Don't be thrown off. Trust God. That's simply what he's asking us. God gives us suggestions. Nope, he gives us commands. He doesn't always explain why. He simply asks us to obey in faith. Some people say, well, this cramps my smile. I don't like this. I don't like it that I can't have sex before marriage. Sorry, not my rule, God's rule. And it's not a suggestion. It's one of his rules. And he reserves intimacy for a husband and wife, a man and a woman, a husband and wife, in the bonds of marriage. People say, well, he asked me to forgive. You don't know what that person said. You don't know what that person did. And it's probably the biggest hang up that people have. And not only did he ask us to forgive, he also asked us to those who do evil, we in turn do good. He asks us to do things that to our mind doesn't make sense. He asks us to give 10%. That's really the minimum. We understand it really all belongs to him. We understand that we are stewards, that everything we have belongs to God. Do you know these things that I've just mentioned? The world thinks that we're out of our mind because we believe this. But yet, we understand that when we obey God's word, we are abundantly blessed. From a human standpoint, it doesn't always register. It's a matter of trust. And so the question is this: will I trust God? Will I obey God? And say, God, even though I don't understand, I'm going to trust you, or will I make up my own set of rules because somehow I know more than God? Obedience is a demonstration of faith. Obedience unlocks the key to all of God's blessings. As your pastor, I preach messages like this. I just want to remind you, my prayer is that you will be blessed, that you will be taken care of, that God's there to help you, that there will be joy and happiness in your home, that it'll give you insight into how to discipline your kids, that your kids are gonna love God, that you're gonna lack nothing. My heart's desire is that you walk in perfect freedom, that you have good success, and that you prosper in your home, in your employment, in the things of God. Beloved, I wish above all things I must prosper and be in health as your soul prospers, that you will grow and be great in the kingdom. See, I don't want you to mess out. I want you to know this. I am your biggest cheerleader. I want you to obey. I want to present this in a way that says, obey, don't go down that road. Don't allow sin. Don't allow the pull of the world. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. All that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of flesh, pride of life. Don't allow that to deceive you. I'm cheering for you. The Holy Spirit is cheering for you. The Word of God cheers for us to make right or righteous decisions. I don't know if I'm going to get to be at the Bema Seat judgment. Not the great white throne judgment. That's where all the wicked dead are raised. The books are open, the Lamb's Book of Life and the Word of God. Books are open there. But at the Bema Seat judgment is where all those who knew the Lord are rewarded. I hope I'm there because I want to say, yeah, way to go. I knew it, Jeff. That's awesome. I knew it. I knew it, Jeff. And be able to cheer. I want good. So listen to me. I'll make it a little more plain and get down to a little more nitty gritty. But for this morning, listen to me. For God's sake, some of the paths you're on, stop. Stop the way you're thinking, where your feet are leading you, the things that you are doing, get on track, obey what God says. Come back to him, rededicate your life. For God's sake, forgive that person because that bitterness and anger is destroying you. Get back on track. Obey God's word and be blessed. Or live your own way and it's a life of self-destruction. How do we celebrate God's word? By obeying it. And the first thing I was going to tell you was, obey it now. Don't put it off. Delayed obedience is not obedience. Whatever God is speaking to your heart that you know you need to do, that you know you need to make right with God, that you know you need to give, or that you know you need to make restitution with, whatever it is that God is speaking, don't wait. Don't wait, because the blessing and promises of God are directly tied to obedience. Don't, and we'll get into this, don't live for God and obey God out of a sense of duty. Let it grow out of a sense of love. I love the Lord. I love him. Therefore, I want to please him. I love him because he first loved me. He loved me. I wasn't real lovable, but he loved me. What's he want? He wants my heart. He wants my obedience. And so I love him back. Amen. This makes sense to anybody this morning. Anybody find something that can hang on to? I hope. We didn't get very far, and it's hard on your pastor when I just do the introduction and I don't get into it, but we had things going on. That's fine. God understood that. This is good. Let me close with this thought, and I shared it in the other service, and I want you to make sure and hear this. I hear this all the time. Well, everything's going to work out. All things work together. Let me just tell you, that's probably one of the verses that's taken out of context more than any other verse I know in the Bible. Look at me. All things don't work together. Everybody, well, it'll all work together. It is what it is, and it'll all work out. No.
All things work together for the good of those who love God and walk according to his will. Love God and are walking in his will. If I'm living in sin and if I'm acting stupid, I can guarantee you it's not going to work out for my good. Well, it'll all work out for the good. No, it won't. That is a compensation clause for folks who we get blindsided, we get hit, things happen. We're loving God, we're walking in his will, and life happens, and we're able to say in the midst of this, in the midst, we hear about cancer, we hear about, I have a crisis of some sort, we're able to say, you know what? We know this, we love God, we're walking in his will, we know that everything's gonna work together because we love God and we're in his will. Amen? Don't cheapen God's word. It's about obeying him. It's about walking after him. It's about being in his will. And that's where the blessing of God rests. If I'm doing my own thing, if I'm living my own life, making my own way, then I'm trusting me. I'm saying, well, no, all those promises, no, I don't understand them. I'm going to do what I want to do. They hurt me. Now I'm going to do what I want to do. No, you can't live that way. No. Come back. Surrender your heart. Forgive. Get on track with Jesus. Obey and love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Island Church Podcast. For more information, visit islandchurch.tv.